Phil has already mentioned we appreciate your presence this evening. It's certainly good to come together once again on the Lord's Day, this day that we set apart to honor God and His Son, to come together and worship, and I'm encouraged by your presence. I want to mention a name to you this evening, and I'm sure you've heard of it in the past week or two. And regardless of what you feel about this individual, the illustration is you've probably heard his name. And that name is Brett Kavanaugh. Now, was your name on the news last week? Was my name on the news last week? There are individuals that a lot of people know about. They live in the spotlight. They're very well known. They've done deeds that the media picks up on, or the newspaper, the television, the evening news. There are music stars whose names we know. There are athletes whose names we know, and we can mention their statistics. Politicians, the President of the United States. Is your name among those names? No, it's not. Your name and my name will probably not be on the evening news this week. And our names in Clarksville are probably not known this evening like the name Brett Kavanaugh. Your friends and family and co-workers might know your name, but the city as a whole, they don't know who we are. This evening, I want to ask this question. Can we still live a faithful, fruitful, meaningful life when people don't know our name? And of course, the answer is yes. We're going to talk this evening and return to the book of Genesis. If you'll turn with me to Genesis chapter 22. We've had our gospel meeting recently and some other things that we've been preaching and teaching on. And I want to come back and revisit the book of Genesis. We have three patriarchs that we need to pick up in our study of the book of Genesis. And we want to talk about Isaac this evening. And what we're going to find, brethren, is that Isaac was not someone who did some great deed that you know about. He lived a very quiet life in service to God. A lot of people won't know our name. We're not going to be on the evening news. We're not going to be the talk around the water cooler this week. But that doesn't matter. What matters is our dutiful, faithful service to God. When we looked at the life of Abraham, we described him as a man of faith. When we look this evening at the life of Isaac, we're going to describe him as a man of peace, a quiet man who pursues God's will. When you look at the life of Isaac, he's not like the other patriarchs. Look at his father, for example. His father takes some military servants and goes and fights a battle. In Genesis 14, did Isaac ever fight a battle? Did Isaac ever offer up his son? Did Isaac ever leave his homeland and journey some thousand miles to another place? Did Isaac ever wrestle with an angel like his son Jacob? Did Isaac ever rule a nation like his grandson Joseph over Egypt? Nope. He just lived a quiet life in his homeland, and he dutifully and quietly served God. There are individuals who look at the life of Isaac as being someone who is not that important. I've seen Bible dictionaries and Bible study aids that describe him as less prominent, merely an intermediary between Abraham and Jacob. One individual wrote about Isaac in the Interpreter's Dictionary of the Bible. He said, quote, "In comparison with the towering Abraham, the complex Jacob, and the noble Joseph, the Isaac of the Old Testament story is weak, both in character and in portrayal. Of the biblical patriarchs, strictly defined, he is patently the least significant." I disagree with that statement. And we're going to see this evening that Isaac is a man of faith. He's in faith's hall of fame in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 20. That takes a lot to get into faith's hall of fame. And Jesus says that many will come from the east and the west and will sit down in the kingdom with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I disagree that Isaac is insignificant. The answer this evening lies in Isaac's personality. He's a calm and quiet and gentle man who pursues God's will each and every day. And so this evening, I want us to consider that as we go about our week, as we get up tomorrow and we're raising our families and we're going to work and we're going to school and we're doing whatever we're doing, just quietly pursue God's will. You're not going to make the evening news. Your name will not be a household name like Brett Kavanaugh. But in the judgment day, that's not what matters. What matters is to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of thy Lord." You've done the will of the Father. That's all that matters. And so this evening then, we want to see how a quiet man pursues God's will. We've been surveying and going through the book of Genesis, having looked at that earlier this year in our Bible classes, just to recap and refresh. And we want to look at these four final patriarchs in Genesis 12 through 50. We've already looked at Abraham, a man of faith. This evening we want to look at Isaac, a man of peace. When you look at the life of Isaac, you find that he lives longer than the other patriarchs, 180 years, but less is said about him. His record is the shortest, about 3.5 chapters. He didn't travel like the other patriarchs did. He didn't accomplish those great feats like the other patriarchs did. He has the shortest record, and yet we find that he dutifully and quietly and calmly serves God. So this evening, let's look at this person. I don't think he's weak, both in character and portrayal. I think he's actually very strong in his service to God. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 24. We're going to be coming back to this in just a minute. But you remember when Isaac was waiting for his new bride to arrive, Abraham had sent the servant back home to find a wife for Isaac, and in Genesis chapter 24, turn with me there in verse 63. This one verse, I believe, characterizes Isaac as a whole. We're told that he had gone out to meditate in the field at eventide, and he lifted up his eyes, and behold, the camels were coming and so forth, and he sees Rebekah. He went out into the field to meditate. I believe that that really characterizes his entire life. Someone who calmly and quietly reflects on how can I serve God. And we're going to see five different areas this evening of his service to God. He's not making a ruckus. He's not making the evening news. He's not doing some extraordinary thing where his name is in the media. People want to just simply pass over him. But we're going to see this evening that in these areas of his life, he dutifully served God. We're going to see that he is an obedient youth. And for our young people here this evening, you can be like that. We're going to see that he's a loving husband. We're going to see that he is a submissive sojourner, that as he is moving, what little area he's moving, he's going to do only what God wants him to do. Number four, we're going to see that he is an exemplary father. And last of all, we're going to see that he is a faithful believer. Let's look at the life of Isaac this evening. A man who simply quietly pursues God's will. He didn't make the evening news. He wasn't all over the media. But day by day, he was just simply serving God. And you and I can do that very thing this evening. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 22 now. Of course, the birth of Isaac is promised in Genesis 17 and 18, Abraham and Sarah laugh, not believing that God will give them a son. And so when Isaac is born in Genesis 21, 1 through 7, they name him Isaac, which means laughter. And I would assume that all throughout his life, no doubt, he was constantly reminded of the laughing of his parents in the face of God's faithfulness. But we come to chapter 22 now, and let's read some in the text, this well-known chapter of where God asked Abraham to offer up his son Isaac. We're going to see, first of all, this evening, that as Isaac quietly pursued God's will, he did that as an obedient youth. And for our young people here this evening, I want to encourage you along those same lines. Just simply to obey mom and dad as they are directing us in God's will. Let's read together Genesis 22 and verse 1. And it came to pass, after these things, that God did prove or test Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Here am I. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son, whom thou lovest, even Isaac, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Always, what does God say? Doing what God has said. That is Abraham's attitude. And we're going to see that that is also his son Isaac's attitude. And Abraham rose early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son. And he clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder, and we will worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and took in his hand the fire and the knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father, and he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, God will provide himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of Jehovah called unto him out of the heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. Notice in this text, we often look at this text with regard to the faith of Abraham, but I want to focus this evening on Isaac. Notice, first of all, in verse 7, that Isaac is old enough to understand the concept of sacrifice, and he had learned that from his father. And as a sidebar, parents, let's make sure that we're teaching our children that they can recognize what God wants in His service. Notice again in verse 7 what Isaac says. Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb? Where did Isaac learn that? Where did he learn that you have to have a lamb for the sacrifice? He had learned that from mom and dad. Daily offering up sacrifices. I know that I have to have fire, and I know that I have to have a lamb. Where's the lamb? Let's raise our children to know as they grow up in the church what to recognize with regard to the plan of salvation. Well, where is the water for baptism, you see? And when in the worship of the church, where is the singing? Here's a Sunday. Where is the contribution? Isn't there supposed to be a Lord's Supper on the Sunday? Where is the Lord's Supper? You see that? Our young people need to grow up knowing what the Lord requires in the plan of salvation, in the worship of the church, in the work of the church. Where is the fill in the blank? Our children need to be able to ask that question. They're out on their own. One day they're out on their own and they're leaving and they're transitioning into that next life. They have to be trained to ask the question, where is the, and then fill in the blank. And we do that now while they're at home. He knew that there needed to be a lamb. Where did he learn that from? Mom and dad. And he had enough sense to ask that. And he had enough sense to know what to ask. Our young people today need to know what to ask. What questions to ask to be right with God. That's why basic lessons on the plan of salvation and the work and the worship and the organization of the church, these are not old leftover sermons of 50 years ago, the old Church of Christ sermons. Our young people need to know these basic kinds of things so that they know the questions to ask. If they're in a place where something is missing, they need to know where is the, and then fill in the blank. Notice also that he was obedient to his father. We see this especially in verse 9. When Abraham built the altar and laid the wood thereon and bound Isaac, his son. You don't find him kicking and screaming and revolting and rebelling and I'm not going to do this and don't lay a hand on me. And I'm going to call the authorities and I'm going to turn my parents in. We find that today. We find where young people are calling the authority on their parents or their grandparents. They went together, verse 6. They both went together. Underscore that in your Bible. Together. Parents and children worshiping God together. And it was for the entire trip. And in verse 8, he relied upon his father's wisdom to know what to do. I trust my father. I'm obedient to him. Isaac was obedient unto the point of death. As in the case of Jesus in Luke chapter 2, when he was in the temple at age 12, we read there that he said, I must be about my father's business. And Isaac was the same. He was going about his father's business. As a youth, he quietly pursued God's will. And if that requires even taking my own life, I'm going to do what God wants us to do. Young people, are you obedient to your parents and to your Father in heaven? You know, it's not popular today to obey mom and dad. You will not be recognized or rewarded by your peers for obeying your parents. In fact, the opposite is what is encouraged. Rebellion is what gets attention today. Misconduct is what gets attention today. And I've heard recently where even political leaders and those who are in public office, they are encouraging anger and fighting. And one said recently, get in the face of someone. That's what I heard recently. Get in the face of someone and let them know what you feel. That's the kind of thing that's being promoted today. Of course, we need to be passionate about what we believe. But it's not through anger and rebellion and that type of thing. That's what our society is promoting. Ephesians 6, 1 and 2, obey your parents. Colossians 3 and verse 20. And Jesus, in Luke chapter 2 and verse 51, says of his parents, he was subject to them. That's God's way. It's God's will. And as parents, let us instill that in our children. He quietly pursued God's will as an obedient youth. That's really where it starts. It starts where you are right now, young people. It starts where you are right now. Quietly pursuing God's will starts right where you are, that young person. And you take that with you all through your life. But if we're kicking and screaming, not literally, but in our heart and in our mind, and we're rebelling and we're kicking and screaming against that, we take that with us as well through our life. Isaac didn't do these great things that we read about other people doing in the book of Genesis. Did he ever build an ark? Did he go to battle, Genesis 14? No. Did he rule a nation of Egypt? No. He just simply obeyed God. And that's what we need to do. And it's a great encouragement for us. You know, Isaac quietly pursued God's will as a loving husband. When Rebekah is found for her in chapter 24, turn with me to verse 67. She comes and meets Isaac for the first time, and the text says that Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. That might not sound like a lot today, but it is. And it's what's being neglected in the marriage today. He loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Abraham was concerned that Isaac married the right person, and the right person was found in Rebekah, and Isaac respected that, and so when she showed up, he loved her. Do you know that Rebekah was the only woman that Isaac married? Rebekah was the only woman that Isaac married. The only woman that Isaac loved. That is more than can be said for his father, Abraham, or for his son, Jacob. You see, that's why I don't believe Isaac is this insignificant character. Isaac didn't have multiple wives, like the other patriarchs did he? One wife that he loved. Just quietly pursuing God's will the way he needs to do that. Turn with me now to Genesis chapter 25 and verse 19. Isaac and Rebekah experienced something similar to what Abraham and Sarah experienced. They could not have a child. But how did Isaac approach that in Genesis 25 and verse 21? How did he approach that? He's in the same situation with a barren wife, but he faced it differently than Abraham did. Instead of resorting to despair or self-willed action, like Abraham and Sarah said, why don't we take Hagar? Why don't we solve this problem with Hagar? Instead of doing what we want and what we think and what we feel, what does the text say in verse 21 of Genesis 25? Isaac entreated Jehovah. He prayed to God. He entreated Jehovah for his wife because she was barren, and Jehovah was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. He prayed. He didn't engage in any kind of I think and I feel and let's do this, honey, and let's do that. He just simply prayed to God. He faced the test by turning to God in prayer. That's more than can be said with what Abraham and Sarah did, right? Quietly pursuing God's will as a loving and prayerful husband. You know, this kind of husband is not popular today. This kind of spouse is not recognized and rewarded today. When was the last time you saw someone on an award show that got an award for being a loving and prayerful husband? You're not going to see that. That's not recognized today. People don't care about that today, but that's what you and I need to be in God's sight. And that's what we are. That's what we're trying to be. Something is wrong today if you have not been married and divorced several times. Something is wrong if your marriage is not on the rocks. Something is wrong if you're not having an affair with the secretary or the neighbor, etc. And when somebody hears, well, I've been married to one person all of my life and I love them and I'm committed to them. What? One person? You see, Isaac is just simply pursuing God's will. A husband is to love his wife as Christ loved the church. Ephesians 5, 22 and following. Colossians 3, 19. Isaac did that. A husband is to pray for his wife and with his wife. 1 Peter 3 and verse 7. Let's turn with me there. Prayer together as husbands and wives can bring us close together. Turn with me to 1 Peter 3 and verse 7. Can we pray together, husbands and wives? You husbands, in like manner, dwell with your wives according to knowledge, or one version says understanding, be an understanding husband. Giving honor unto the woman as unto the weaker vessel, as being also joint heirs of the grace of life, to the end that your prayers be not hindered. Of course, you can pray separately, but wouldn't that also include praying together, your prayers? Isaac was a loving and prayerful husband, quietly pursuing God's will. Turn with me to chapter 26. The third area that we find in Isaac's life is that he was a submissive sojourner. Turn with me to Genesis 26 and verse 1. There was a famine in the land, verse 1, besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. That's going to be Genesis 12. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And Jehovah appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell of thee. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and I will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these lands, and I will establish the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and I will give unto thy seed all the lands, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Isaac dwelt in Gerar. That little short verse 6, five words. But it says a lot. When there's a famine in the land, brethren, what is your thinking? I've got to get out of here. I've got to find some place to get some food. Where's the first place you go if you live in Bible times in Palestine and you need some fertile place to go where there's food? You go to Egypt. That's what Abraham did back in Genesis chapter 12. But the first thing out of God's mouth is, don't do it. So as a sojourner, what did Isaac do? No, I'm not going to listen to God. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to follow human wisdom. Human wisdom says go to Egypt. Human wisdom says I need to do what I think and what I feel. He just stayed there. There's a famine going on, so somebody's going to have to provide some food, and Isaac trusted that God would do that, and we're going to see that in just a minute. Brethren, as we're sojourning, and we've been emphasizing that both this morning and this evening, we're sojourning. This world is not our home. We're sojourning. And when we do that, when God says, do this or do not do that, we have to submissively trust that. It often goes against our human thinking. It often goes against what we feel and what we can reason in our mind. Many things about marriage and parenting and things involving the church and the plan of salvation, much of it might go against our human reasoning. But we must always do what God says. As he knows what is best. Simple statement in verse 6 says a lot about Isaac. He dwelt in Gerar. Don't go to Egypt. Dwell in the land, and I will bless thee. And that's what we're going to see. Turn with me to chapter 26 and verse 12. In the meantime, those verses 7 through 11, that's the lie of Isaac, where he lies about his wife. And we'll come back to that at the end of the lesson. He wasn't a perfect man. But come down with me to verse 12. Isaac sowed in the land and found in that same year a hundredfold. God provided what he said he would. He said, you stay in the land and I will take care of you. And God did that. When God makes a promise, he keeps his promise. This is not popular today. Today it's do your own thing. Today it's I did it my way. That's what's preached by the world today. Following God's plan is outdated. When God says, no, do it anyway. Don't worry about that dirty, dusty old Bible. It doesn't mean anything anymore. Do our plans each day always match God's plans? Do we let God plan our life? When God says no, do we obey that? I don't like to hear no. All of us don't like to hear no. When I was a child, I didn't like to hear no. But sometimes no is what is best for us. And when God says yes or when God says no, let's be a submissive sojourner. And Isaac dwelt in Gerar. He just simply did what God told him to do. We're sojourners like Isaac. That's the scripture reading tonight. In 1 Peter 1 and 17, pass the time of your sojourning in fear. That's fear and respect for God. That's not cowering where we're scared of something, but we pass the time of our sojourning in fear. Fear and respect for what God wants us to do. Let's make sure that our plans always match up with what God tells us in His Word. Like Jesus, not my will be done, but your will be done. Matthew 26, 39. And in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 7, Jesus said, I have come to do thy will, O God. I am come to do thy will, O God. What a beautiful statement. And we can be like that as well. Turn with me to chapter 26 and verse 12. Isaac quietly pursued God's will as an influential father. Our children are looking at us. Those around us are looking at us. Let's see some ways in which we find Isaac quietly pursuing God's will as an influential father. First of all, as a hard worker. Turn with me to Genesis 26 and verse 12. And Isaac sowed in the land and found in the same year a hundredfold, and Jehovah blessed him, just like he said he would back in verses 1, 2, and 3. And the man grew great and grew more and more until he became very great. And he had possessions and flocks and possessions of herds and of great household, and the Philistines envied him. Now all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham, his father, the Philistines, had stopped and filled with earth, just being mean. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, Go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. And Isaac departed from there and encamped in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. He didn't leave. God said, Don't leave. He moved some, but he didn't leave. And Isaac digged, verse 18, again the wells of water which they had digged in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. And he called the names after the names by which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants digged in the valley and found there a well of springing water. And the herdsmen of Gerar strove with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, The water is ours. And he called the name of the well Esek, because they contended with him. And they digged another well, and they strove for that also. And he called the name Sitnah. And he removed from there and digged another well, for that they strove not. And he called the name of that Rehoboth. And he said, For now Jehovah hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. Look at verse 23. Not only was Isaac a hard worker, but Isaac is also a worshiper. The best example that we can give our children is to be a hard worker and to be a worshiper, dutiful worshiper of God. Verse 23, He went from there to Beersheba, and Jehovah appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, the father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and I will bless thee and multiply thy seed with thy servant Abraham's sake. And he builded an altar there and called upon the name of Jehovah and pitched his tent there. And there Isaac's servants digged a well. So he's a worshiper, remembering God in the midst of his prosperity. Look back at Genesis chapter 26. And verse 14, he had great possessions, but his possessions did not keep him from worshiping God. His success did not keep him from worshiping God. Well, where's brother so-and-so? Where's sister so-and-so? We haven't seen him in a while. Well, they're working, and they're buying this, and they're buying that, and they're paying for this and paying for that, and they're busy out doing this and busy out doing that. We can be prosperous and faithful. It doesn't have to be one or the other. He's an example of a hard worker. He's an example of a worshiper. And then turn with me to verse 26. He's an example of a peacemaker. We live in a world, brethren, that are purposely trying to stir up a fight. As I said earlier, one of our nation's leaders said, get in somebody's face. That's the mentality that we're hearing today. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers. Look at verse 26. Then Abimelech went to him from Gerar, and Ahuzzath, his friend, and Phicol, the captain of the host. And Isaac said unto them, Wherefore are you come to me, seeing that you hate me and have sent me away from you? And they said, We saw plainly that Jehovah was with thee. That's the subject of another lesson. That would make a great lesson. People can see plainly when the Lord is with us. But they said, Let there now be an oath between us, even between us and thee, and let us make a covenant with thee. Thou wilt do us no hurt, as we have not touched thee, and as we have done unto thee nothing but good, and have sent thee away in peace. Art thou not blessed of Jehovah? And he made them a feast, and they did eat and drink. And they rose up early in the morning, and sware one to another, and Isaac sent them away, and they departed from him in peace. One of the greatest examples that we can give to our children and those around us is to be a peacemaker. And then finally, look at verse 34. He was an example of a godly parent who wanted the best for his children in marriage. Verse 34. When Esau was 40 years old, this is going to make Isaac 100, he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and Basemath, the daughter of Elon the Hittite, and they were a grief of mind unto Isaac and to Rebekah. It wasn't because Isaac and Rebekah were just prejudiced of Canaanites. It was because of the wicked influence that they were giving to their son Esau. And as a result of that, turn with me to chapter 27 and verse 46. Isaac and Rebekah said, We need to find someone different for Jacob. Rebekah said to Isaac, Verse 46 of chapter 27, I am weary of my life because of the daughters of Heth. If Jacob take a wife of the daughters of Heth, such of these of the daughters of the land, what good shall it do my life? And in the first few verses of chapter 28, they make arrangements to go find, back to Padan Aram, a wife for Jacob. Isaac was an influential father, showing the importance of hard work, worshiping God, being a peacemaker, being a concerned parent. And again, today, this is not popular. Hard work is not popular today. Worshiping God regularly is not popular today. Making peace and being a concerned parent, these are of no values to the world, but they need to be to us. These are the kinds of values that go unnoticed by the world. But this is the very thing that God wants us to be. A hard worker, Ephesians 4, 28. A worshiper who does not forsake the assembling, Hebrews 10, 25. A peacemaker, Matthew 5, verse 9. A concerned parent, 1 Thessalonians 2, 11. Isaac just quietly pursuing God's will. Not making the evening news, but being obedient to God. And then last of all, he was a faithful believer. In chapter 27, we know the story. How that his wife, Rebekah, deceived him. And she and Jacob worked together to make Jacob appear to look like he was Esau. He had the hands of Esau, the hairy hands of Esau. But it was a deception. It was a lie. And Isaac is fooled by all of that. And he ends up blessing Jacob. Turn with me to chapter 27 and verse 27. Even though there was deceit and lie on their part, on his part, there was faith. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 20, it says, by faith, Isaac blessed Esau and Jacob as to things as not yet seen. He looked to the future and he said, God will do this. And the great example is in verse 27. He came near and kissed him and smelled the smell of his raiment and blessed him and said, see the smell of my son. He thought it was Esau, but it was Jacob. Is as the smell of the field which Jehovah hath blessed. And look at this. And God give thee the dew of heaven. He was a faithful believer in God and knew that God would grant the fatness of the earth, verse 28, the plenty of the grain. Let people serve thee, verse 29. But he attributed that to God. It's not popular today to believe in God. It's not popular today that God will give you such and such. We're taking God out of our country as quickly as we can. But we need to be a believer in the one true God. Well, as we come to the close of the lesson, turn with me to Genesis chapter 35. Isaac passes out of the scene. No more to be found. Until there's one last reference to him in chapter 35 and verse 28. Let's turn there and then we'll close this evening. In Genesis chapter 35 and verse 28, and the days of Isaac were 104. And Isaac gave up the ghost and died and was gathered unto his people, old and full of days, and Esau and Jacob, his sons, buried him. Old and full of days is the description in the Old Testament to describe a fruitful life and service to God. What are we told about Isaac? He's not perfect. He lied about his wife, Rebekah, being his sister. Genesis 26, 7 through 11. But that aside, he quietly pursued God's will. In Genesis 31 and verse 53, he's described as one who feared God. In Genesis 48 and verse 15, when Jacob is looking back over his life and describing his father, he described his father as one who walked before God. How? In a calm, quiet, peaceful, dutiful way. Isaac is in the kingdom of heaven, Jesus said. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 11. He never built an ark. He never traveled 1,000 miles. He never went to war. He never ruled a nation. He never wrestled with an angel. He simply obeyed God each and every day. And as we close this evening, then, my encouragement would be this. Can we find a quiet place like Isaac did to meditate on how that we this week can quietly pursue God's will? You're not going to get the recognition and the accolades that many people in the media are getting. But what you are going to get is, well done, good and faithful servant, and that's all that matters. The calm and quiet and peaceful and dutiful pursuit of God's will is all that matters in life. There probably will not be any presidents that will come from this audience. There will probably not be any movie stars that come from this audience. Any major athletes that come from this audience. Any major political figures that come from this audience. But what will come from this audience are faithful, godly men and women. Let's not overlook Isaac. That dutiful service to God each day. We're going to sing Heaven Came Down, this song of encouragement. And you can begin that quiet, dutiful service this evening by stepping forward and being baptized into Christ. Nobody in the world is going to care that you did that. But Jesus said the angels in heaven will rejoice. You're not going to end up on the evening news if you come forward and be baptized. But heaven will know about it, and that's all that matters. And when we get up tomorrow and go to school and go to work and take care of our families, quiet, dutiful service is what God is looking at. We live in a world that it seems like nobody cares about anything unless it is over the top and in your face and just this gigantic explosion of a thing. And that's why we're encouraging this militant type behavior. Isaac just quietly pursued God's will. And that's what we would encourage you to do this evening. And if we can help you to do that, why won't you come as we stand and sing?